Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you. I believe my brother joins the party tomorrow. Penn State's been winning, so he's been emailing me more. Hey, I'm beating my brother. I think I'll email him, see how he's doing. Oh, mercy me. Oh, great to be with you. This wild ride moves into phase 11. This week, I think you have now seen the college football playoff rankings. Alabama is number one, and should be. In fact, I am of the opinion, and some of you may disagree with me on this, Alabama can split the last two games in its schedule, Auburn and the SEC championship game. And I think they still get in. Ohio State is two. Since the Penn State game, they have been on a roll. Michigan lost and did not drop one iota. Michigan was three going into last week's game with Iowa. They lost. They are still three this week. Interesting. Clemson is four. Louisville is five. Washington is six. Wisconsin is seven. Penn State is eight. Then I believe Oklahoma is nine, and Colorado is 10. Now, I mentioned Colorado at 10 for this reason. The one area that Michigan does have going for it as to why they would not drop is simple. They have defeated three teams ranked in the top 10 this year. They have defeated Wisconsin, Penn State, and Colorado. They are the only team that can make that claim. So that's probably why they're still at three. And, of course, they've got Indiana this week. John O'Korn is expected to be the starting quarterback this week. And this is the guy that was a starter for 2 years at Houston. Not an unfamiliar guy with the pace of the game or the starting role. So that's a nice luxury to have. For Jim Harbaugh, because they're not going to have Wilton Spate this week. Indiana will be a tough matchup for them, but Michigan has to be the prohibitive favorite going into the game, especially at home. Game is in Ann Arbor, as have most games this year been in Ann Arbor. Do you realize this is the 11th game that Michigan has played this year? It is the 8th game out of 11 they have played at home. Now, that's the part that is not quite up to snuff. I just mentioned the three wins that they've had against the other top 10 teams. All three of those games were at home. There's not one road win in there that of massive significance for them. Now, Ohio State, they've got Michigan State this week. Louisville has a big game tomorrow night. They've got Houston. Now, Jack Ham and I were just talking about this, and we were trying to run down who's playing who. And the one I drew a blank on was Washington. I knew Washington State was playing Colorado, but I wasn't sure who Washington was playing. So I've got to look that up. That one I don't know. And then, of course, there's Wisconsin, Penn State. Penn State's got Rutgers this week. Oklahoma has a big game. They've got West Virginia. And that game's in Morgantown. And I mentioned Colorado is playing Washington State, and that game's in Boulder.
Washington is entertaining Arizona State, and that's a 7:30 our time game. I believe that's nationally televised on Fox, I believe, Saturday night.
I'll tell you, Washington did not look good at all against USC. They didn't look good at all. I mean, I watched Washington play a little bit early. Hadn't really watched them that much. I think I've probably seen more of Washington State than I have Washington. Because, I mean, sometimes Washington State's on that late game. So I've watched them play a couple of times. I really haven't watched Washington that much. For a high-caliber team, I wasn't that blown away by them. Like, I was kind of surprised at how they played that game the other night.
And looking ahead to next week, of course, they'll have the Apple Cup game, Washington State. So that could have quite a few people will be paying a little more attention to that game than just the folks up in the Pacific Northwest for sure. Could have some big ramifications on the playoff.
Look, but they all do, and that's what's happened with this college football playoff. You've noticed that the ratings for the NFL bounce back, by the way, beautifully. For the NFL. They had great games, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Seattle, New England. Well, the ratings for those games were higher than the same weekend last year. So they did really well this week. So matchups, time of the year, the NFL did great over the weekend. So there's no talk about ratings decline. You notice what has not declined in the ratings this year? College football has not. All year. What's interesting is that this college football playoff comes out with its rankings the first Tuesday in November. And I think they do it in such a way where if the season were to end now, this is where it would be. Season ends now, this is where it would be. It's a week-by-week snapshot of where they think things are now and not a projection as to where they think it's going to be. But look at the interest that it draws. Let's just look at the top 10. In the top 10, you have fans excited now in Alabama, Ohio, Michigan, South Carolina, Kentucky, Washington State, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, and Colorado. 10 different states where now people are locked in and excited with other people such as West Virginia and so forth, kind of locked in and excited what's going on with them too. What this does in the battle for four spots has increased the interest across the board in a wide variety of areas across the country. Everywhere except for the southwestern part and the west coast of the United States. Up, you know, Washington's in it, but they're up in the northwest. Everywhere else, you've got the Midwest represented, you've got the Rocky Mountains represented, you've got the Deep South represented, you've got the Pacific Northwest represented. You got the Northeast represented. So it's drawing fans to the game. Because let's face it, you're sitting here in Pennsylvania right now today. How excited are you that your team is in the conversation? How anxious are you to talk about your team in the conversation? You're not sitting there on the periphery saying, well, you know, they went with the top four. This is my opinion of the top four. All of you are now looking at it as, what can we do to get there? Penn State's name is prominently mentioned. Just like if we were doing this show in Colorado, Colorado's name is being mentioned. If we're doing this show in Washington, they're mad about last week's game, but they're looking at scenarios as to what gets you home. We're doing this show down in Clemson, South Carolina, same thing. Columbus, Detroit, Ann Arbor radio. I mean, everybody's talking about their teams. They, you know, this college football playoff, publicity-wise, has done a lot for the game and the interest in the game because it has spread the wealth around of possibilities. All right. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has been through 25 elections in their 101-year history, and they're going to celebrate that it's finally over by pricing every new Ford at the wildest prices ever. SMC has always been the place for new F-150s, and to celebrate the election is over, you can take up to $10,000 off a 2016 F-150 Supercab starting at $32,969. There's over 100 F-150s to choose from. SMC is where you want to be for your fuel-sipping Fusion Hybrid, getting 43 mpg and starting at $22,940. SMC is where you want to be for your EcoBoost 4x4 2017 Escape. A well-equipped 4x4 Escape has been discounted to $23,996. SMC has 54 Escapes to choose from. Now is the time to put the election behind you and celebrate the wildest prices ever at SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us. 800-795-9565. Yeah, that's what this has done now. 2 weeks ago in the regular season, and you had people talking about college football left and right. They're not talking much about the NFL, and they're not talking much about baseball's over with. People left and right are talking about college football. What are the possibilities? What does it take? I mean, can Alabama be knocked out of the top spot? What does it take for Ohio State? What's it going to take for Michigan? You know, what can Clemson do? Well, is there any way that Louisville can leapfrog their way in? Is there any way for Washington to get back into the Final Four? Well, Wisconsin's played this great non-conference schedule. If they win the whole thing in the Big Ten, do they belong in? If Penn State runs the table and wins the whole thing, do they belong in?
Well, kudos to you. I mean, on the jump a couple of weeks ago when the first poll came out, I mean, you had said Penn State at 12, great start-off point.
Well, it's all about positioning. It is not, in other words, okay, you get ranked, but positioning means so much on the first poll. It's very difficult, you know, and I don't mean the first poll at the beginning of the year. The AP and you and coaches' polls are both completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. Just like the AP poll and the coaches' poll mean nothing in college basketball. They don't mean a thing. You have a committee. You have a tournament. Well, here you have a committee and a tournament that ranks them in the top 25. This poll means everything. So, but going back to the days of the old AP poll and the coaches' poll, you know, you'd start out the season ranked 14, 15, 16. Well, now you got to climb all these teams through a 12-week season to somehow get there. Or back then it was 11 weeks. Well, now the first poll doesn't come out from the college football playoff people until the first Tuesday of November. You've got 4 weeks to make up ground. Now, in the old days, you could make up ground in 11 weeks. When Penn State won the national championship in 1982, Penn State started out the year ranked 14th in the country. But then you work your way, you wind your way, you've got plenty of time, and over the 11 weeks, boom, you get yourself to number two, and then you play Georgia and you beat them. Okay. But that was a process that took a couple months to get there. Not this. the time frame is so short. That's what got me about the 12. The 12 was, my first thought was, great starting point. Keep winning, not as far to climb. That's what it was all about, not the giddiness of, look, they're number 12. Wow, I mean, and that's fine. I mean, I understand that. But I was thinking of in terms of positioning. If you're 12 and you keep taking care of your business, you don't have as far to climb. If you were 20, that would have been nice, but the road up the ladder, because of the time frame, only 4 weeks, is too short to get there. 12 wasn't. Now they've gone from 12 to 10 to 8. Now we'll see. James Franklin, I think, has done a great job with this group of having them ignore the noise. And there's plenty of noise out there for obvious reasons, because this is being talked about by everybody. Everybody's talking about this right now. This is a primary talk discussion. This is a primary newspaper discussion. It's a primary social media discussion. And James Franklin has his guys understanding that the discussion is worthless and doesn't win games. Performance does. And that's how they do, you know, and that's how they have to approach it. Now, his answers to the media may get frustrating, but that's not his job. I mean, he does not close his eyes at night and think, oh man, we're number 8. He closes his eyes at night and he thinks, okay, how do I handle the offensive line? Do I have the right solutions there? If something else happens, how do I handle that? All right. Rutgers does this. Are we good enough to counter it? We do this. Can Rutgers stop it? I mean, this is what's running through his mind. He's not running through, oh, golly, gee, we're number 8. It's not his job to think that. Now, you as fans, that's your job. You can jump up and down and go, hey, we're number 8. You can go all sorts of scenarios left and right about where's Penn State right now. What would it take to get there? Can't wait for Rutgers. But, you know, that's what makes you fans. That's cool. As the head football coach, he's sitting there thinking, okay, my offensive line is like this. Do I have the right solution? Do I have enough to take care of the job this week? If something else happens, what do I do? If, you know, what am I doing defensively? Does that match up with what they do offensively, the whole thing, okay? Got to make sure we're emotionally ready. Got to make sure these guys aren't drinking the Kool-Aid. Got to make sure that they're just knuckling down and just practicing and getting better at practice and so forth. He's modified practice again this week. Because it's mid-November. Mid-November, you do modify practice. But that's what he has to be thinking. You, the fans, you can have all the fun you want with this. This is great to be on the gravy train. For the head football coach, he's trying to come up with solutions every single week. So he can't play the what-if game. He just can't. Because that's not his job to play the what-if game. That's your job. And you're good at it. All right. Bob Flounder's Patriot News at 4:06 today. We'll talk with him. Get you up to date on what he thinks of the football team so far. We're going to have a beat writer from Rutgers on Friday. Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com and the Star Ledger.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's be honest about it. How many of you thought we'd be having this conversation 2 months ago, huh? I mean, really? The moment's kind of fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think not just the fans, but the whole Penn State community, period, has just been going through so much the past several years, and it's just nice to finally turn the corner. It's all part of that recover phase that I know you and Jack that have been talking about the past several months.
There's a line in the great holiday movie Die Hard. It does take place on Christmas Eve, right?
That's right. That's always been a great debate. Is it really a Christmas movie or not? But
okay. Where he looks outside and he looks at Sergeant Powell as the police car goes over the side, and he says, "Welcome to the party, pal." Well, guess what? Welcome to the party, Penn State. This has been interesting. Now, can they stay a part of the party? Well, they can only do that by winning. That's all they can do. It's the only thing they can do. And after that, then we'll see how it plays out. What, you know, what happens? And let's just take a look at some of the facts that are going on as to how this has played out. So you look at the top 25 teams, all right? And what they've done is this. Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Louisville 5, Washington 6, Wisconsin 7, Penn State 8, Oklahoma 9, Colorado 10. Then the interesting one is Oklahoma State at 11. Why? Oklahoma State is 8-2. They should not be 8-2. They should be 9-1 because of the total complete botch of the end of that Central Michigan game. Remember that one? People forget about that. Utah is 12. Remember, when I mean botch, it was an officiating botch. Total, complete officiating botch. Utah 12, then USC's 13 at 7-3. Remember, back in September, what did I point out about Penn State and USC? Parallel paths. Remember back in September, I had this conversation about, you know, they were on probation. Penn State was on probation. They had scholarships taken away. Penn State had scholarships taken away. And they've really followed parallel paths to get back to this. And now USC's up to 13. West Virginia's 14. They've got Oklahoma this week at home. Auburn's 16 or 15. LSU is 16. They got Florida this week in that makeup game. Florida State 17. Nebraska's 18. Tennessee 19. Boise State's 20. Western Michigan's 21 and undefeated. Boise State is ahead of them at 9-1. Washington State is 22, Florida 23, Stanford 24, and Texas A&M is 25. Doug in Wellsboro joins the party. Hello, Doug.
Steve.
Doug, now we've identified each other. Let's speak.
Were you at practice last night?
Yes, I was.
I know you can't divulge any particulars, but if I was to play the lottery Saturday night, I have some numbers for you. These are left to right. 52, 57, 72, 66, 77. Are those the correct numbers to play?
We'll see how the week plays out.
Oh, come on, Steve.
I was going to say, Doug, you should play tonight. The Powerball tonight's just a shade under $300 million. Don't wait till Saturday.
Should I play 53 and 55 instead?
I don't know. I don't know yet. The week is still young. I think what you said, anything is right now, anything's possible at this point. There's so many times where they've gone Tuesday. And then, believe it or not, one way or the other, things changed on Thursday where they try, you know. So I just want to, I'm usually more cautious about Tuesday versus Thursday. Thursday usually tells me, you know, and also veteran players have a better shot than younger players do.
Well, he'll wait that late in the week, like Thursday, to decide what the final lineup's going to be.
Well, you can. Okay. I mean, you can, because, I mean, everybody you're looking at has played before, so you're not exactly looking at somebody who's an inexperienced player. So I think you just got to wait and see how the week plays out as to how he wants to do it. I know that, for example, they're going to move some guys. Not some guys. Like, for example, Wendy Laurent gives them, you mentioned 55. Wendy Laurent gives them versatility because he can play center, both guard spots, so he can help out. So there are various ways that you can help out. Bates, I thought, did a good job at left tackle the other night, or the other day. And they had done that during the week last week. They had moved Bates with the idea that as a worst-case scenario, he could play left tackle. Where it turned out the worst-case scenario happened, he had to. Bates has really good footwork. He's very athletic, very strong, but not typical of a left tackle. He does not have the great arm length and extension that you need in a left tackle. That's why he's been better suited to be a guard and a center.
I know that kid's just a ball player, though. You could put him anywhere. I know he's not the typical tackle size, but that kid can just play. I mean, he can hold up for a while. I know they talked to what are they going to do with Minette and Fries? I know they talked to their parents about possibly pulling the red shirt if they need it. I mean, how would you handle that? Would you go and pull a red shirt if you had to?
Well, if I absolutely had to, Doug, where I'm looking around and saying, look, what are my options here? And if I look at my options and that's all I've got left, then I do it. But if I've got other options, and in my opinion right now, Penn State still has other options this late in the season, that'd be a really hard thing for me to do. Now, James may have to do it, but I'm saying it'd be a hard thing for me to do, especially this late in the year, unless I'm out of options. If I'm out of options and this is the only way to win, then I'd do it. But if I can do it other ways and have other options, and especially talking to my medical staff would help guide me as to what all my options are.
Why was Chris Gouley not on the trip?
I don't know. I found out about it on the plane Friday, and I didn't ask. All he looked over and said, okay, that means Billy Fessel was the holder. They said, yeah.
Okay. Are you guys bussing down? Are you flying down?
Well, they're bussing. I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, they're bussing up and back, which means they would get back probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning on Sunday. And while that does affect the coaching staff because that's a work day on Sunday, practice would be, and they have a team meeting, they have treatment, then a team meeting on Sunday, and then they will practice as usual. But remember, next week's also fall break here at Penn State. There are no classes next week. So that at least helps in playing into this. Now, you're asking, why am I not busing? That's because I'm flying to Connecticut with the basketball team. I'm renting a car. I'm doing the Duke basketball game at 12:30. I'm driving to Rutgers to do the football game at night, but then I'm driving back to do the Sunday basketball game in Connecticut and then flying back with the basketball team Sunday night.
Okay. Hey, last thing I have for you guys. The last time we talked, you asked me about the Mansfield night game.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, I went up into the attic and looked up old Jebediah from Wellsboro's journal.
There you go.
You said about my relative being there.
Yeah.
And I actually found something. Old Jebediah from Wellsboro, he had a journal, and he had an entry. He said he attended the first Mansfield night game.
Okay.
He said the game went well. And the lights stayed on, everything worked great, except there seemed to be one referee having a lot of problems. He missed a lot of calls. There was people arguing with him, the whole thing. So I looked down the name, and it was Dave Whitvoet. It must have been his first game.
That's good. A little Big Ten humor there.
I will never forget the Wisconsin game in 2012 when the Bill O'Brien freaked out on him. I mean, he got in his face and the crowd was like, go, Billy, go!
He's retired now, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is retired. Yes, he's retired.
I thought he'd be a replay
official or something, but I don't see him listed anywhere.
Wonder if it was a voluntary retirement.
It wasn't as if Dave was the youngest guy out there. So I think maybe he just thought it was time, or else maybe Bill Carroll told him it was time. I don't know. I've always looked at, we talk about officials who make missed calls and so forth, and Dave actually had one of the bigger missed calls in that legendary Texas-USC game, because Texas got a touchdown in that game on a play that Vince Young's knee went down on the ground in the backfield. Dave never saw it, and Young scored. It's actually one of the bigger plays in that game.
Yeah, I remember that. So. Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it, Doug. And again, thanks to your relative, Jezediah, for clearing up certain elements.
Glad to do it for you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
All right. Here are the metrics now as to how the college football metrics, how it plays out for the college football committee. And I'll give you Penn State, all right? Penn State is 8 in the college football playoff, 9 in AP, all right? 8-2 record. Their unit rank offensively 34, unit rank defensively 29, special teams rank 45. Strength of schedule for Penn State is 36. So now you're asking, what is Penn State's schedule strength compared to everybody else? Okay, it's a good question. It's really right in the middle. Alabama is 3. Ohio State schedule's 45. Michigan's is 55. Clemson's 23. Louisville's 59. Washington's 65. Wisconsin's 19. Penn State's 36. Oklahoma's 27. Colorado's 39. It's right there in the middle. Okay? Let's see. Their forward-looking information. Remaining strength of schedule. Well, Penn State, remaining strength of schedule is at the bottom. All right? And this is of the 10 teams remaining schedule, Alabama 1, Ohio State 3, Michigan 2, Clemson 5, Louisville 4, Washington 7, Wisconsin 13, Penn State, let's see, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, remaining schedule rank, Alabama 38, it's my fault, Alabama 38, Ohio State 10, Michigan 29, Clemson 47, Louisville 43. Washington's remaining schedule is ranked 25th, Wisconsin's 51, Penn State's 80, Oklahoma 8, Colorado 14. Okay. Percentage of, what do you want to do? Percentage of winning out or percentage of winning conference? Which one do you want?
Winning out.
Okay, winning out. Alabama 74%, Ohio State 51%. Michigan, 33%. Clemson, 74%. Louisville, 82%. That surprises me. They've got Houston on the road tomorrow night. Washington, 37%. Wisconsin, 33%. Penn State, 51%. Oklahoma, 40%. Colorado, 18%. Percent that they win their conference. Alabama, 89%. Ohio State, 9%. They say Michigan, 34% of the metric. In other words, they think, you read this, that means that they think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. Clemson, 78%. Louisville, 7%. Washington, 39%. Wisconsin, 37%. And Penn State, 19%. Oklahoma 61%, Colorado 23%. Now remember, the Penn State number put in percentage-wise would include them winning the division and would they beat Wisconsin in the championship game. All right? So these are the metrics that those are the college football playoff metrics. These are not like pie-in-the-sky metrics. These are the metrics they use in the room. Okay? So it gives you an idea what the metrics look like. Sure is fun to be talking about this. Now you got to keep the fun going. That's their responsibility. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All
right, 800-795-9565, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Dick in Milton is next. Hi, Dick. Great to hear you, my friend.
Hey, Steve. I just wanted to tell you, that, you know, you were going through all those percentages of chances of winning this and winning that. You know, it almost makes my head spin.
Right. And I'm just giving you the metrics that they're using in the room. That way everybody has the information right. that they use and why. And you're right. It's all head-spinning stuff.
If you're old enough and you remember, you're not this old yet either, but at one time I had to wait till the next morning to find out whether a team won or lost, because you'd depend on a radio station at AM, and sometimes you wouldn't get good reception. So I would be trying to find it at night, because we didn't have 24-hour-a-day cable news and sports. And so consequently, and that's what made me think about that. Geez, there's times I had to wait till the next morning to find out if a team actually won or lost a baseball or football or basketball game or a Penn State or anybody. It's just the way it was.
The plus of today is what you just talked about. The negative of today for the players is the social media component. It's really hard for a coach to control the noise around them when there's social media all around them and they're all hooked into it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, really, isn't it? And speaking of, I'll let you go, but social media, I was thinking about the day when I saw those kids on their things, and I was going to, I don't really text, but I was going to try and text somebody, but I couldn't get a hold of the operator. So I'll let you go. I'll let you. That's showing my age. I'll see you.
I'll tell you, between Doug and Dick, they've come out with the home runs today. They had me laughing left and right today.
Dick had me laughing at lunch today. We were at the Bucknell football luncheon last of the season, and the three captains were up talking with the group today, leading up to the big senior day game with Fordham on Saturday. But it was great to see Dick there, and Julian Davenport, captain, lineman, was at our table. So it was great to meet him. And Dick was asking me about Terry Hanratty. Where is he from? Penn State, Notre Dame, or Notre Dame. Steelers quarterback. Butler, PA.
So, oh yeah.
Pride and joy, Butler.
Yes, and he played.
Well, I knew Dick had a flip phone. He goes, you got your phone on you, right? And I go, yeah, I can find it.
Well, do you know who has a flip phone?
Jack does, right?
No, Jack didn't know. Jack has an iPhone.
Okay.
Matt Millen.
No surprise.
So Matt Millen told me he was at a dinner in Philadelphia. And you know, because he took out his phone, and I think James Franklin and I think we're talking with him, and we're kidding around with him about his flip phone. And he says, I don't want all that stuff. I don't want it. I don't need it. Okay. And he says, I was standing. He says, I can't remember. It may have been the Maxwell dinner in Philadelphia. And he says, I'm standing there, and I got my flip phone, and I'm showing it to somebody. He said, Peyton Manning walks by, and he had a flip phone. So, what the heck?
Sooner or later, I think we'll see Peyton on a commercial on TV, and he'll have his actual flip phone.
Well, so far, everybody's been able to get a hold of him. Anybody wants to do a commercial?
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody wants to do a commercial, they've been able to find him.
Everything but phones.
The phone works.
That'll be next.
Well,
only matter of time.
And I'll tell you right now, he is great on commercials.
Very always entertaining. Is. Yes.
I mean, always. He's a real natural on the thing. Gee whiz.
It's got to be only a matter of time now that DirecTV and AT&T are together. Sooner or later, he'll be in the cell phone store of Lily, and she'll set him up. Right?
Lily,
it's got to happen.
Lily Adams, point guard. Wow. Talking to Grant Hill. I'm Grant Hill. I'm Lily Adams. There you go. All right. Next hour includes Bob Flounders, Patriot News, PennLive.com. Later in the week, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com and the Star-Ledger, Neil Coulong on the Steelers. I bet you can't wait to hear that conversation, Sean. It's a beauty.
Bring it.